Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology, where three astrologers meet weekly on the internet and we talk about astrology. And our goal in doing that is to introduce you to our love of the heavens and how they work, and also to have fun, kind of get you laughing, telling some stories, make you think about things. So my name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York City, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk, and I am joined by my two compatriots, Heather.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota.
And I'm also joined by Mark.
Mark Wolfe in New York City, over on the west side.
Yeah.
And no bright red desk.
No bright red desk.
No,
but a telephone. You have a telephone. And you're able to commune.
Yeah.
You're able to communicate. All right. Well, we have a lot of stuff going on in the heavens this week. Most importantly, we have a major planetary shift. So I think we are going to spend a good chunk of the show talking about Neptune going into Pisces, because the last time we did
that
it was 164 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a brand new energy. So how do you guys see it shaping up? What are you telling your clients when you talk to them?
I'm a little fascinated by the spiritualists in general. And in 1848, as Neptune went into Pisces last time, the Fox sisters first heard rappings on the wall up in upstate New York and believed that it was a group of five sisters, I believe, that began to commune with, to be mediums and to commune with the spirits. And they seem to have had some actual experience with spirits, but they also, over the years, tended to pad their quiet days with a little extra help on the side. So yeah, the whole question of whether spiritualism was, were they really talking to the dead, or were they talking to other spirits, or were they all fakes is, you know, an ongoing question. But they hit a hunger in the community that was so huge for something more emotionally transcendental. The movement right before that had been the Unitarian Universalist Transcendental Movement about, you know, we are inherently good, very philosophical, very Aquarian. But just like all of this contact through the internet has been very philosophical and very Aquarian, and I think Facebook is the face of Neptune and Aquarius, I think there's a real hunger for magic, for mysticism, for spirituality. In a few years, during the last time Neptune was in Pisces, spiritualism and the whole focus of a religious practice based on talking to spirits became the fifth largest religion in America with over 8 million followers.
Wow.
That's how hungry people were for contact with a numinous. And then it became sort of a laughing stock by the early 1900s.
So we need to start a church.
Right. Yeah, make some serious.
I can talk to dead people. Yeah,
notice that all of us that are in any field that has to do with that, in that numinous, that people are going to be hungry for contact with their inner world, with their workings, with the spirit, all of that.
With who they are and where they're going. Wow, mm-hmm. Very cool. That's a lot of people wanting a church and really connecting.
Yeah.
And certainly, was there
the
a decline
first
in...
gave women the right to vote, too.
Right. Was there a decline in organized religions at that point? Did they kind of step forward?
I think they did take it away from others, but it was particularly women. It was, you know, just as the suffrage movement was being whispered of, and it was one of the first religions where women had the lead as mediums.
And also very Gnostic, where there was experiential rather than somebody standing up and telling you stuff.
Right.
Where you were actually doing it. Got it. Oh, interesting.
Well, so we're going to have spiritual breakfast cereal now.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, we don't know what that's going to turn into. It was also when they started using ether instead of chloroform in surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I think that, you know, it was a real spread, a love of opium that went through Europe. So, you know, let's see what designer drugs get introduced.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hoping
that
it also changes.
New.
Yeah, that, you know, as Neptune goes into Pisces, it's forming a trine to Saturn. And then Saturn backs off and then trines again with Neptune in October.
Mm-hmm.
And that there might be some process here where they are connecting with changing how we approach all fossil fuels, which I find very Neptunian,
mm-hmm.
as well as, you know, the water issues. But so we'll see what happens with that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm watching for something that I call faith-based science.
Mm.
We've had a domination by a sort of rational-based science for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the whole what's called the scientific method being based mm-hmm. in a very rational, mm-hmm. you know, left-brain sort of approach.
Uh-huh.
And I think what we're going to see now is a balancing of that and a movement toward the other side of the scale, which is more intuitive and, you know, experiential rather than experimental. And, you know, we've gotten to a point with experiments where the thing, you know, they use this scientific model of everything has to be repeatable. Mm-hmm. If it's not repeatable, it can't be real, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And with this Neptune and Pisces, I think what we're going to see instead is people will take a real interest in things that can't be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll be interested in, can we predict something that's a one-off event?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than that, if I can do it here and you can do it in Switzerland and they can do it over in China, then we know it's
true.
Scientific. Instead, no, this is one combination of factors that can only happen this way. And here it is, and here's what we thought it would look like, and here's what it turned out to be. And so this is what we know about it.
Hmm.
And what's interesting is that's largely the way astrology works.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of one-off events. And we do our best to look at the factors involved and then intuit what kind of shapes it can take.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But no two events will be exactly alike.
Right. But the theme of them is similar. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I think we're going to see a turn toward that interest as we move along with Neptune and Pisces.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting.
Well, the other side of that is somebody in it, I think it's Indiana, introduced a bill to get creationism accepted to be taught in the school system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And that's the other side of faith-based science.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We like having right. we like having God come down with a big thumb and say he did it, you know. Yeah.
Right. So
right.
Yeah, it's there's going to be interesting blurring of those questions there.
Oh yeah, because see what you're open to is manipulation,
mm-hmm.
and you know a distortion of what we're looking at, and for all sorts of reasons, whether it's to justify a religion or to you know, just a whimsical thing can
mm-hmm,
be also.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in the end, actually, it's also true with the scientific model. You're only going to believe what you're prepared to believe.
Right.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, that's true. We do have that. We do have that, you know, I don't believe you. It's like, okay. I mean, how people
right.
say to me, you believe in astrology? I'm like, yeah. No, I don't believe in that. You know, like, okay, well, you know, it influences your behavior. And they're like, no, it doesn't. And then I do the, you know, the coat in the winter and this, you know, the sweating in the summer. And they kind of look at me and I said, well, that's your behavior being altered by the position of the sun. And all I'm doing, and, you know, the ocean does the tides. All I'm doing is saying the other guys have a role too.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, and people kind of always look like, wow, well, I don't want to believe in it. It's like, well, you don't have to believe in it. You know, it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of the Neptune in Pisces is going to be, well, I'm going to believe what I want to believe, and you can believe what you want to believe, and I don't have to listen to you because my beliefs are mine and I'm right. That's the only part I'm a little worried about because it can get a little dogmatic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have to try to clarify those things mm-hmm. as we go along. But you know, that already exists, because if you look at the rational science-based things, we've had dogma there for years now that all the pharmaceuticals are this way or that way. And, you know, the minute you get skeptical, people say, what, you don't believe science? It's like, no, I don't, because, you know, they call suicide a side effect. You know, to mm-hmm. me, that's not a side effect.
I love that.
That's a pretty permanent, you know.
Pretty permanent
sort of main,
yeah. solution.
Main effect, you know.
You know, that's what goes back to what's the term belief. You know, I ask people, say, I don't need to believe a chair to sit in it. I can test it and feel it. It's a useful tool. Which is
right.
different from a belief system. And sometimes that's how I take it with astrology. I find it a useful tool. I also see all kinds of interesting ways of reinforcing the sense of oneness and interrelationship in all the universe around astrology. But
yes.
it's, you know, what I lean into that. It's not where I start with mm-hmm. newcomers to it. But to just say, try it on as a tool and see how useful it is to you.
Mm-hmm.
And just mm-hmm. take a bet. Does it work? Does it help? Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk from there.
Mm-hmm. So you're less combative than I am. I always get a little combative.
Well, until my moon goes into Aries. I mean, you know.
Until the moon goes into Aries,
okay.
Thing.
Yeah, until my, yeah.
I say, where'd my Aries girl go? What happened to Aries girl?
My Mercury in Libra leads, but then the...
Oh, okay. All right, good. Yeah. Yeah, because I think it's also when we're looking at, you know, these big changes cosmologically, you know, in the heavens, you know, we look down here and we get all excited, oh, something's going to happen, you know, it's going to happen, it's a big deal. And it does, you know, and we're kind of like, how can you not see that? You know, I always find when you kind of say, okay, this is earthquake week and then there's a big earthquake. And I thought of you last week, Heather, because you weren't with us, but there were huge solar flares.
Yeah,
and you're the one
were.
That got me turned on to watching solar flares, you know.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they were
and
really
they
big.
Turn up the volume on all the other things that we go through.
They sure do. It was pretty wild,
they sure
and they were big yeah. last week. So I thought of you. Oh, yeah, solar flares. Heather gave me those. Because they really do kind of have an impact, and I guess
yeah.
they got Mars all excited this time, which I think
yeah.
is interesting because Mars, we know Mars is going retrograde, so he's all mad now over there on with the solar flares, so...
Well,
and
it's
has some really interesting aspects.
To,
mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All of the planets in our solar system are affected by solar flares because they're all coming from the prime source of energy for
mm-hmm.
all of us.
Right.
Mars, Venus, everybody, as well as the Earth. Our prime source of energy is the rays of the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then you get these flashes.
It is. They're... It's been pretty impressive what you see with the solar flares, and they do stir up politics, and the Republicans are doing such a good job of expressing that right now.
They are. It's actually kind of funny. I mean, I'm almost wanting to watch it, but then I go, no, run, 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 Will Robinson.
Yeah,
it's dangerous to listen to these people.
My favorite was a cartoon was, you know, it was a list of all the major political Republican candidates, and then put, you know, the reelect Obama campaign, because they're so good at attacking each other right now. But I want to go back to Neptune going into Pisces.
Yes.
I looked a bit at the various eras of Neptune, and just to kind of let people see what a taste it has. It's about 14 years in a sign. And it goes, Neptune was in Libra from 1942 to 1956. And during that time, it's a subtle aspect, you know, which we might miss under all the, you know, fire and brimstone aspects of the rest of this year. But it really changes that backdrop, the lighting, I think, on the play. It changes what we idealize as well as what is our escapism. And I think we can look back on ourselves, you know, in our own life. What is it that we idealize? With Neptune in Libra from 1942 to 1956, we idealized peace. It took us a while to get there in 1942, but we idealized peace, beauty, fairness, romance, art. You know, we idealized proportion and symbol. Scorpio, with Neptune in Scorpio from 1956 to 1970, we idealize transformative experience, sex, death, mystery, LSD, intense spiritual practice. And a lot of the people born in those years, especially towards the end, anyway, that was a tricky time. Sagittarius, Neptune in Sagittarius from 1970 to 1984, we idealized generosity. Cruelty-free relations is when PETA was born during the whole cruelty-free movement was during Neptune in Sagittarius.
Hmm.
Physical fitness became a real issue. World beat music began to really reach around the globe. Real interesting educational exploration with Neptune in Sagittarius. Neptune was in Capricorn from 1984 to 1996, and I saw that as it really idealized the returning to the old ways and the earth-based spirituality and herbalism. But on one side, we had, you know, all the neo-pagan traditions got birthed during that time, but also religious fundamentalism on all sides. Family history, business, money were idealized during Lion King came out. I figure that is a great image of family history and the arts during that time. Then Neptune in Aquarius from 1998 to 2012, which seems to me idealized the communal technology of Facebook, Internet, web, the cloud, and the wars over religious ideals, because like ideals themselves became idealized. And now it enters Pisces. So it's going to be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's always, I always love these outer planets changing signs. You find a new understanding of them. And I always feel like it's like you should have a drum roll saying, it's coming, and it's going to be really exciting. Because what we're going to do is learn a whole new reality. I mean, if you think about just the Neptune and Aquarius time, that 97 to now, that, you know, cell phones and the internet, and there's, you know, the whole you know, can't find a phone book anymore, they don't exist. It just this huge transformation of all the communications and the satellites, you know, and of course Neptune in Aquarius has a communication kind of feel to it, but it also is this big shift from all of us. We didn't have the internet, we didn't have email, we didn't have cell phones, and now, you know, now we're going into Pisces, which is, of course, the film industry, because it was also when back in the 1860s
mm-hmm.
was when film was first developed, and of course, Kodak's going bankrupt. So it's it's a big psychic change for us too.
That is, it's huge.
Yeah, and so it's understanding. And then I think the part you know that I found very helpful for people this week, because it is already we're an orb. You know, we're giving it the day of Friday. But as we approach Friday, we're feeling it. And we've also had this kind of slipping away of the Saturn stopped and Neptune's going towards Pisces. He's already on some level evoking it. So the other piece is recognizing that sense of feeling a little bit adrift. And one of the things we don't really like in our culture is to take time to just be adrift. You know, I don't have to know what I'm doing at every minute. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not know now, because there is so much floating around that isn't necessarily organized or coordinated or clear, and that's an okay place to be. You're not losing your mind. You're just adrift. And I think for telling people that's part of the energy is it's not a clear energy, you know, whereas some of the other signs, it's very, you just see that baby and you go, okay, there's Pluto and Capricorn, you know, but, you know, it's the other ones. This one is just amorphous. It feels very loosey-goosey, you know, and I've had people writing, I'm feeling like I'm just floating and I can't get grounding.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, it's a Neptune transit. You know, you can hear it when you say float.
You can hear it, exactly.
Float,
you know,
feeling ungrounded, untethered, unconnected, you know, adrift. Think of words like when you're floating in a swimming pool that you use to describe it, and if you're feeling that way, that's the Neptune.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it does tend to make you feel a little bit more sensitive also. So if you're feeling a little teary
or
sad.
So can we ask if there are anybody callers?
Sure, let me look and see if there's anybody calling. There are a couple. Raise your hand if you want to call us to answer you. And the call-in number is 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. We also have a Mars opposite Venus later this week and a Moon or Mars joining with Pluto by declination. So the end of the week can be a little volatile emotionally with separation, turning Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, but then it calms down. All right, so we'll go with 540-519. Hi, how are you? You're on the air. Can I help? Can we help?
Hi, I'm Danielle. Are you guys doing readings tonight?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. June 13th.
When were you born, Danielle?
June 13th of 81.
Okay. And where? What time?
9:30 a.m. in Alton, Illinois. A-L-T-O-N.
And what's your question tonight?
Well, I've gotten readings in the past, and there's supposed to be something coming up in the second week of February. The next couple, 2-3 weeks, there's something supposed to be happening, and I'm dying to know what it is, if you guys can see that.
Do you remember what they were talking about? Was it an astrological reading?
Yes, it might have been having to do with my relationship.
Okay.
Or might have been with my career or something.
You know, every year at this time of year, just starting February 1st or thereabouts, the sun goes into your house of partnerships for the whole month of February. But there is your progressed moon conjuncts Neptune over the next 3 months. So it may be hard for you to see clearly or in your house of fifth house, the house of relationships and love affairs. And that may be one of the pieces that they're seeing. There's a couple of triggers that might be setting, that might concern them, that are setting you off. But I don't see necessarily anything that demands that there be a major event at that moment. I think that there's a longing in you to have your life change. And
yes,
there's some real ambiguity in your chart between what you want, your desire to dive into life and your desire to stay safe. And I think that's being poked right now. What are you seeing, Anne?
Well, I noticed the Uranus is opposite her Saturn. And so what that is it's kind of a wanting to run away and join the circus energy. I always kind of analogize it to that, meaning that it's like, I really feel like I need to change something really fundamental. And I need to change how I think. I need to change my mind. I need to change my ideas. And Saturn, of course, is in the house of your mind and your ideas. And he's talking to you and saying, back to 1982, what was going on in relationship land. And that you were little, but it was going on in your parents' relationship. And so you're working on that same story now about how you define relationships. So coming from the outside world is a really profound change. And you've had it. You've already had part one, part two, because Pluto squared your Saturn and Jupiter. But you've got Uranus opposite that now. And so Uranus is what we call the great awakener. So
and
when
Uranus
you're having a big Uranus transit.
Mercury.
Huh? Pardon?
And Uranus is squaring her progressed Mercury.
Right. So it's like the Great Awakening. So I would think of it that way. And so when you find something that makes you go, aha, that's what the transit is, I would guess is what they were seeing. Because that, to me, that's now. You're having it now. And you're also having it, through this year. The other piece, not through this year, through the springtime. The other piece is Mars is in your second house of what's of value to you. And he's stopped in the sky right now. And you have Mars high in your chart. He's the highest planet. And he rules your moon. So emotionally, there's a lot of energy in your chart that's trying to release. So when I see that, I'm always like, you're feeling like you need to release stuff. And watch where you feel like you want to run away and join the circus. That's the area. You don't actually have to end it, but you have to change it. And so a lot of times people feel like, well, I have to end that. It's like, no, you don't have to end it. Just change that area, because that when you change that, it will feel like a huge release. So watch where you're feeling like, I don't want to. And the don't want to place is the place to shift. So, Mark, what are you seeing?
Yeah, those themes are all definitely there, and it's it's not like it's one big thing, it looks like. It's a lot more, you know, you're grappling with several things at once. It's kind of like dancing with an octopus, you know, a few arms at once. And go ahead and, you know.
It could be a nice dance, though.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I said it could be a nice dance, though.
Yeah, it's a dance. It's not a menacing thing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of opportunity in it. And so, you know, go ahead and, you know, come on out of the corner and take the dance. You know, that's really what's going to move you forward. So,
and
you know,
that's what... Yeah.
There's a feeling of trepidation sometimes when you feel that change is about to happen. And, you know, and the trepidation in this case is just because it is an unknown and you're not necessarily leading the dance. So, you know, go with it and see where it gets you.
Okay. One of the things that I see in your chart is that you need to, you know, that there's a kind of, that if you, you know, we can always ignore a transit. There are a lot of transits that we can ignore. And a lot of these transits are opportunities. And along with this sort of urgency to live life more fully and to experiment and to reach out. But if it's important that you stay present and in the moment, that you'll build up trust in your own judgment, because it looks like you tend to not always trust your judgment, because it's sort of stay safe and take a risk but not really look where you're going and then jump back to stay safe and then take a risk. And it's important that you walk into this next phase and don't look too far ahead. If you start a new relationship, don't decide you're going to marry the person. Look at who are they really and work on really getting to know them and being gotten and being known. If you start a new adventure, don't worry about where it's going. Just how do you make it feel healthy and safe and exciting in the present? To really walk one foot in front of the other as if you're walking through the fog while your progressed moon conjuncts Neptune over the next 3 or 4 months. So it's a great time to take those risks and dance and reach out and try new things and meet new people. What we ask you to do is do it with your eyes open and do it staying in the present. And then it'll be safe and interesting and fun new beginnings.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Take care. Let me see.
Okay, have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
All right, we got another hand up. Hello, 714. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Heather and Mark. This is Irene.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Irene.
Hi, Irene.
Hi. I'm a Virgo, and I am curious because I know that Mars is retrograde in my sign.
When were you born?
September 18, 1962, in Honolulu, Hawaii.
In where?
Okay.
In Honolulu.
Honolulu.
And what time?
At 5:02 p.m.
5:02.
Okay, we're going to be short on time tonight, so you might have to call back next week.
Okay.
We're right at the British lady's bubble. We'll go fast. So Mars is in Virgo, going back and forth over your planets. So you already had one pass. You had stuff in November that came to light that you're going to finish up, you're going to revise, work with, and then through April. And then you're going to release it, and then you're going to work with it again one more time, and then you'll figure out what you want to do with it.
Yeah. And so it's a lot about how you relate to other people, that you're learning to really hold your voice and to be clear and not be thrown off your center while other people around you are difficult, or you're having to learn to negotiate for your needs as well as theirs. And be just clear and hold your center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and hang in there. Okay.
Yeah, and you know that Mars Virgo, everybody's feeling very sensitive when you say anything to them. And because you have a strong Virgo energy, they can feel very criticized by you. So just say to them, what did you hear me say?
Oh,
and they
God.
May say,
yeah.
Oh, that I didn't say that. What I said was this, you know, it, check back with how they're hearing you, because sometimes they can hear it wrong. So, and that's
okay.
It for the show, folks. We run out of time. We try, but we run out of time. Okay, so Ann Ortley signing off, saying so long, farewell. And
farewell,
Heather?
Mm-hmm. And Mark.
And Mark Wolf. Okay, thanks for
Have
listening
a wonderful
in.
Evening.
Right. And join us
next week.
Take care. Bye.
Okay.